Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll meet the Honorable Robert Wilkie, Secretary of the United States Department of Veterans Affairs, check in with the Homefront Resource Center in St. Cloud, and talk to our County Veteran Service Officer. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
On September 18, 1947, President Harry Truman signed the National Security Act, effectively creating the United States Air Force as an independent armed service equal to the Army and Navy. Throughout its entire history, the Air Force has played a key role in the defense of our nation while simultaneously conducting numerous peacekeeping and humanitarian missions. By harnessing cutting-edge technology and employing dedicated airmen, the Air Force remains the world leaders in air, space, and cyberspace. Minnesota is proud to have two Air National Guard units, the 133rd Airlift Wing in the Twin Cities and the 148th Fighter Wing in Duluth. And let's not forget about our Air Force Reserve brothers and sisters at the 934th Airlift Wing. On behalf of the Minnesota National Guard, please join me in wishing the Air Force a happy 71st birthday. Aim high, fly, fight, win.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. The Honorable Robert Wilkie was nominated by President Trump to serve as the 10th Secretary of Veterans Affairs. He was confirmed by the United States Senate on July 23, 2018, and sworn in on July 30, 2018. Mr. Wilkie previously served as Acting Secretary of the VA from March 28 to May 29 of 2018, and he's joining us today. Secretary Wilkie, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you very much, Tom. It's an honor to be here, and thank you for hosting me.
Sir, I know you're in town for the 100th convention of the American Legion. Kind of fun in the Twin Cities to have held the first one 100 years ago and now held the 100th.
That's right. It was great for me to be here. You know, I've been spending a lot of time talking about World War One and the anniversary of the end of that conflict. And in my the Bible that I took my oath on was actually carried into battle by my wife's grandfather, who was in the same sector of the Battle of the Meuse-Argonne as my great-grandfather. One was an infantryman, one was an artillery officer. And in another part of that battlefield was Alvin York, who was here in Minneapolis 100 years ago to kick off that first American Legion convention. And I would think that Sergeant York was probably the most famous American of his day, with the exception maybe of Teddy Roosevelt. And he was here in Minneapolis for that first convention, and I talked a little bit about him today because what the convention and I think the VA stands for are ordinary people like that who've come from, in his case, he was a scratch farmer. In my great-grandfather's case, he was a law student, law professor, I should say. And they were just ordinary Americans who were called on to serve their country, and they did it in extraordinary ways.
And, sir, as Secretary of the United States Department of Veterans Affairs, you will be working very closely with all of those veteran service organizations.
Yes, yes, and happy to do it. And you know, you talked in your program through the last year or so about VA and its status and its place in society, and a lot of bad, both bad and good news that comes out of VA. My goal is to ensure that we're tied at the hip with two entities in America. One's the VSOs. I've made a commitment that the door is open. We talk regularly. I'm making my rounds to almost all of the major VSO conventions. And the other entity is the Department of Defense. You know, Secretary Mattis, I was Under Secretary of Defense under General Mattis before I fleeted up to VA. And his last order to me as I was leaving the five-sided insane asylum, the Pentagon, was that VA and DOD have to be joined at the hip. And I feel the same way about veteran service organizations. We have to create that continuum of service that begins when that young American walks into that entrance processing station to the time that he's handed off to VA and stays in VA for the rest of his or her life. So those are the two organizations that will be part of the leadership battle rhythm at VA while I'm there.
Certainly makes sense, sir, that Secretary Mattis is taking care of our service members while they're on duty. And once they retire or get out of the service, then if they need some help, the United States Department of Veterans Affairs has to take over. So there is an easy handoff there, isn't there?
Yes, but we have to make it easier. And one of the things I discussed today with the Legion is our new electronic health record program, where for the first time, DOD and VA will be joined together. So the days when a combat soldier like my father carries around an 800-page record, those days are gone. That we start building that record from the time that American walks in for his first physical as a soldier, sailor, airman, and Marine to the time that he's handed off to VA. And it also will provide private care providers and pharmacies, private sector pharmacies, the ability to to work with the records so that they can put information in, so we finally have a holistic picture of that veteran's health. And that goes to something that I know has been on your mind, suicide prevention and opioid abuse. We think this kind of record will allow us to get a stronger grasp on those two issues.
We're speaking with Robert Wilkie, Secretary of the United States Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Mr. Secretary, I want to just get a little bit further into your background. I know that you're the son of an Army artillery officer, and you spent your youth at Fort Bragg.
Yes. Yes, I am, as I say, the heretic in the family. I am the first, I think, Wilkie male since the war with Mexico who was not an artillery officer. You can see on that piece of paper that I'm an intelligence officer in the Air Force. So I get it from both the airborne and the artillery mafia. But no, it was an honor to grow up at a place like Fort Bragg. I saw a lot. I met a lot of wonderful people. It was sort of the last days of the old Army, where they put a lot of emphasis on traditions, and I got a chance to meet, because of the unique nature of the 82nd Airborne Division, I got a chance to meet a lot of great American heroes growing up, like Matthew Ridgway and Omar Bradley, who would come to, both had long associations with the 82nd. So it was an honor to grow up with those warriors.
Sir, I'm sure you take some good-natured ribbing because you are a member of the Air Force Reserve, assigned to the Office of the Chief of Staff, and you spent some time in the United States Navy Reserve.
Yes, so I've run the gamut. I did my time in the Navy, and when I was Assistant Secretary of Defense under Don Rumsfeld, the Chief of Staff, the Air Force came to me and said, well, you have some abilities that we could use on the intel side. Have you ever thought about joining us? And I said yes. And I'll tell you what, it was the best decision I made, and I told Secretary Mattis this. It has kept me grounded. I've been blessed to be a special assistant to the President for National Security Affairs, Assistant Secretary of Defense, and under Mattis, an undersecretary. But being able to put on my uniform and head to places like Pope Field and Hurlburt Field and walk and talk with our great airmen, our pilots, and be part of their world puts into perspective what I do on a day-to-day basis when I put on a coat and tie.
Mr. Secretary, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about your experience and education and the things you're focusing on as our new Secretary of the United States Department of Veterans Affairs. We're speaking with the Honorable Robert Wilkie on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Robert Wilkie, who is the Secretary of the United States Department of Veterans Affairs, and we've learned that he comes from a long line of military in his family, And, sir, I was also looking, you've spent a lot of time in school, honors degree from Wake Forest,
yes, sir.
Juris Doctor from Loyola University College of Law, Master of Laws in International and Comparative Law from Georgetown, Master's in Strategic Studies from the United States Army War College, and on, Mr. Secretary, it seems like your experience and your education and everything you've done in life has really set you up to be in your current position.
Well, thank you, sir. My whole life has been Secretary. I'll leave it with Secretary Mattis. He said I was born in khaki diapers, and that's probably the nicest thing that anybody's ever said about me. And all those things that you just mentioned, they all tied into one thing, and that is national security. I was honored when a man of General Mattis's stature looked at those qualifications and said, "Come be the Undersecretary for Personnel and Readiness." My last assignment at the Pentagon was I was in charge of the Secretary's Close Combat Lethality Task Force, and that was the project that that's the project he wants to leave when he departs, and that is a deep dive on how we make our infantry more lethal, more survivable. You know, 85 to 90% of the casualties that America suffers comes from those who are within 600 meters of the enemy. And Secretary Mattis gave me the responsibility to take a really close look at the way we train, the way we equip, the way we educate our infantry forces, Army and Navy, Army and Marine Corps, and see if we can't do something better. The saying that what he says is that he commanded the 1st Infantry Marine Division, the same division Vandegrift commanded the victory at Guadalcanal. But Mattis will tell you his training regimen was exactly the same one that Vandegrift used in the 1940s. And for the kind of opponents, the enemies that we face, and the kind of warfare that we will encounter, as Mattis says, the training regimen of the 1940s is not going to be sufficient.
Mr. Secretary, I've read that you talk about calming the waters at the Department of Veterans Affairs. What are your biggest concerns, and how can you convince veterans that if they have a service-related issue, that you'll take good care of them?
Yeah. Well, hopefully that background that you just read off will tell the world that this has been my life. I've not only seen soldiers when they come back from battle. Some of my earliest memories involve seeing my schoolmates have to cope with the loss of a parent, particularly in Vietnam. But the other thing, and you mentioned something when we talked earlier, I need to bring calm to the institution. Not only calm, but stability in the leadership. There's been too much turnover. I've been blessed to bring with me from the Department of Defense people who have served, who have long service in uniform, who've led complex organizations in our services. We now have a full-up leadership team at VA for the first time in a long time. We just named the acting deputy, Marine Colonel, long experience with General Mattis and General Kelly. I think it's absolutely vital to get people into leadership at VA. And also, for the first time, we have a senior enlisted advisor. I brought in a Chief Master Sergeant, an E-9, from the United States Air Force, who is going to be with me, walking the floors of our hospitals and our centers, talking to the folks that we serve. All of this is a long-winded way of saying we have in place people who have lived the life that our veterans have lived and speak that unique language. And I think that's a change. Now, the last thing is calming the waters. It's time that we start focusing on veterans and not focusing on the day-to-day news stories that pop up. And I do believe that walking that post in the VA headquarters and bringing those veteran service organizations into the decision-making process on the 10th floor at the VA headquarters will go a long way to doing that. You're not going to be able to stop all the bad stories. I said in an interview with Fox News a few weeks ago. We have 370,000 employees. There are a couple hundred knuckleheads. Part of my story is to tell what those folks who aren't the knuckleheads are doing in such a good way that veterans know we're going to do everything we can to take care of them.
We're speaking with Robert Wilkie, Secretary of the United States Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Mr. Secretary, we talk a lot on our show about how veterans who have some type of an injury related to their service in the military should start with their county veteran service officers to file a claim, and then they work a lot with the veteran service organizations to document and process the claim. But I know that the veteran service organizations worry that the veterans' appeals are not being processed in a consistent manner.
Well, the good thing is that the Congress has passed the Appeals Modernization Act. Now, I've only been in VA for 3.5 weeks, but I can say that the statistics are on the side of those who want to see rapid change. A few years ago, there were 800,000 appeals in the backlog. Today, it's below 80,000 and getting better. I'm putting together the budget for the next fiscal year and have targeted a ramp up in the number of people who actually deal with appeals so we can make that flow faster. But we're on a good trajectory. And the other beauty of the Appeals Modernization Act is that it puts in place a trigger so that veterans can get their appeals to judges in a shorter amount of time than they would have in the past. And I want to take that 80,000 number and whittle it down as quickly as I can, but we are moving in the right direction.
Mr. Secretary, a lot of my generation, the Vietnam veterans, are suffering from some very serious side effects from exposure to Agent Orange.
Yes.
And we've been kind of fighting that battle for several decades.
Yeah. It's not just Agent Orange, Tom. The tragedies that I see across the Vietnam era, and I mentioned at the beginning, I have a special place for those who served in Southeast Asia because of my family. The highest levels of suicide that we experience within the veterans world comes from our Vietnam veterans. The highest rate of opioid abuse comes from that population. I'm glad to say that on the suicide front, the president will shortly announce a national program directed from the White House to combat suicide by bringing together all elements of government. So it'll be a task force, and I don't know the exact makeup yet, but the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of VA, me, my counterpart at the Department of Homeland Security, will all be there at the table to pool our resources. The tragedy of Vietnam is compounded by the fact that, you know, we see veteran suicides at about 22 a day, and 14 of those are outside of the VA system. So we have to do a better job working with the states and localities as well as the VSOs to identify those who are outside of our system and bring them into the system.
Mr. Secretary, we've had some of the doctors and the staff of the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on the show for many years now, and what they've told us about the suicide is if you can recognize some changes and get those veterans to the Minneapolis VA, they have the ability to help them and help prevent those suicides.
That's right. And I said something today to the Legion. The problems that VA has are not with the care. You know, you've been part of the Minneapolis VA for many years. Certainly members of my family have been with VA in Fayetteville, North Carolina, or New Orleans, Louisiana. It's getting them in there. And the beautiful thing about this area that you're in is that you have one of the premier research medical facilities in the entire country. The stuff that they're doing here in Minneapolis is world-class on everything from spacesuit technology to help veterans who've suffered spinal cord injuries to PTSD breakthroughs to brain research. In fact, they even came up with the plans that you now hear about on television, the clinical plans that everybody who has a heart problem or wants to prevent a heart problem has to take aspirin, one aspirin a day. That came out of your Minnesota hospital. So you're absolutely right. Once you get in, it's great. And I was very impressed walking around with them today.
Mr. Secretary, we've got about a minute left, and we've got listeners all over Minnesota. If you can, you give them a final thought or a final message on what you propose to do and how you propose to take care of our veterans?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. My top priority is customer service, and customer service has to start with the Department of Veterans Affairs recognizing when a veteran comes to us, it is not up to that veteran to employ a team of lawyers to get VA to say yes. It's up to VA to say yes. And that customer service also means that we have to do a better job at the front end when people first contact that veteran to give him or her a kind, considerate experience so that we set the stage for that American to get into VA where 99% of the time he or she will get world-class service. I've told the VSOs, I have told the DOD that the door is open on the 10th floor of Veterans Headquarters. It will stay open. I intend to walk the post and get to as many facilities as possible, talk to as many people as possible. It's an honor for me to be a temporary custodian of the flame that so many veterans have carried for so many years. So I do thank you for giving me the time.
Mr. Secretary, thank you for taking the time to join us today. I know you've got a busy schedule, and we wish you all the best as the 10th Secretary of Veterans Affairs in helping to take care of our veterans and keep the promises.
Well, thank you, sir, and thank you for everything you do.
Thank you, sir. That was Robert Wilkie, the Secretary of the United States Department of Veterans Affairs. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to check in with the Homefront Resource Center in St. Cloud. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
With fall and school in full swing, have you thought about education benefits that may be available to you if you have served? Have you served honorably as a Minnesota resident and are interested in higher education? If you answered yes to these questions, you may be eligible for education assistance through the Minnesota GI Bill program. Minnesota veterans, non-veterans who served in the military, and eligible spouses and children who are full-time undergraduate or graduate students or part-time students may be eligible. The whole purpose of this bill is to get Minnesotans and especially Minnesota veterans back to work. The plan starts with education, and the first step is financial assistance to help them get there. The bill is also about making it easier for those who serve to get the assistance they need. For full eligibility requirements, visit minnesotaveteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Retired Major John Donovan is the project manager for the Central Minnesota Remembers Vietnam Initiative. This 18-month project involves coordinating and facilitating a variety of educational sessions within Central Minnesota to increase community understanding and awareness about the Vietnam War and the Vietnam era. And joining me now is himself, retired Major John Donovan. Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's great to see you again.
Thought it'd be appropriate to refer to himself since we've got another good Irishman in the studio.
We are a rare breed, but a fun breed nonetheless.
Major, can you tell us a little bit about your career? You recently retired from the Minnesota Army National Guard.
I did, yeah. I had a very successful and gratifying career with the Minnesota Army National Guard. My last tour of duty was with the state headquarters. I worked as the state equal employment manager. I was in charge of over 13,000 soldiers of the Army and Air Guard in regard to the Equal Opportunity Program. And before that, I had the opportunity to work as a public affairs officer, where I worked with good people like Tom Lyons, Kevin Olson, and others who are involved with this radio program. And I also had an opportunity to work with then General Sholto, now Commissioner Sholto. I served as his aide for a couple of years. So I had a very gratifying and very exciting military career. Just retired after 27 years this past March.
And, sir, from watching your career and General Sholto's career and Kevin Olson, Colonel Olson, the one thing that I've been reinforced with over the last 8 years is you're always getting ready. It's the next man or woman up. You always have to have the next generation trained and ready to go, don't you?
Well, you do. We've got some great soldiers who are getting ready to go out the door right now. And, you know, that's part of our mission is not only do you have to know your job, but you got to make sure that the next person knows your job. Because as you leave, they got to step in and take over. And we've got some great men and women who are serving our nation right now and great men and women who are serving the state of Minnesota. And we're lucky to have them, and Godspeed to all of them who are going out the door.
Sir, I understand you now are the vice chair of the Homefront Resource Center up in St. Cloud. Can you tell us, what is that?
The Homefront Resource Center is similar to a family assistance center, except we get no DOD money. We provide services to our veterans, our service members, and their families. So any veteran service member or family member who is in need of services, if they are in need of some financial help, we would reach out to organizations like the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. We would refer them over to that good organization for some financial help. If they are in need of counseling, we would help them get to the VA if they're eligible for VA services. If not, we would provide or look for a provider within the central Minnesota area who could provide those services. If they're looking for education assistance, we have a Veterans Center over at St. Cloud State University. We would refer them over to them. We also have a Veterans Center at St. Cloud Technical and Community College. We'd refer them over to them. So we work with veteran service members and their families and get them to the subject matter experts who will be able to resolve the issue that they may be dealing with.
Now, sir, is this a new service for central Minnesota?
The Homefront Resource Center has been around since 2012. We had a community convening back then where community members came together, and one of the things that they saw was that there was a lot of what we call, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, Tom, silos of excellence. People doing things that are great within their silo, but there was very little crosstalk, very little communication. And the idea of this Homefront Resource Center was born so that it could be an organization that would go between those silos, that would can make those connections, so that we weren't duplicating services and that we could get people to the right spot right away in order to resolve their issue.
We're speaking with retired Major John Donovan on Minnesota Military Radio. So I keep calling you Major. I know you're a civilian now, but you stepped out of uniform, where you'd been taking care of your soldiers for so many years, and you've turned around, and now you're taking care of the families.
Yeah, it was a tough transition. When I took off the uniform, I went out west to visit my grandkids, who live with my daughter and son-in-law out in the Reno area. I took some time to visit some military buddies down in Florida, and then I came back to Minnesota, and I started in on this project of Central Minnesota Remembers Vietnam.
Okay, and let's focus on that. Central Minnesota Remembers Vietnam Project. What is that all about, and where did that come from?
Sure. So many of your listeners are probably familiar with Ken Burns, the great documentarian. Ken Burns did Ken Burns Irish Americans, Ken Burns Baseball, Ken Burns Jazz, Ken Burns the Civil War. Well, his most recent work was on Vietnam. It was a groundbreaking work. And as a result of that, there was a call for action throughout the 50 states to start community discussions about remembering Vietnam veterans, the Vietnam era, and all of the issues that went into that. There was a great program within the state of Minnesota recently back in July where we had the traveling wall, the wall that heals up at the state capitol. The Minnesota National Guard opened up one of their armories. And our program is dovetailing and augmenting some of those services. So we'll be doing a series of programs in central Minnesota to, again, spur community conversation around the issues of the Vietnam War. We're going to honor our soldiers, we're going to honor their sacrifice, and we're going to promote an atmosphere of conversation so that we can learn the lessons from that period of our history.
Sir, I've got to share with you, I watched that series by Ken Burns on Vietnam, but I watched it in my amusement room in the dark by myself, and it was a hard watch. And I've heard from a lot of the Vietnam veterans that it was difficult, and some of them still haven't completed it. But I know that you've got a concert coming up as well, and music is a huge part of military life, particularly when you're deployed, when you're sent off to Vietnam, or wherever you may be sent off to. That might be pretty emotional for some of the Vietnam veterans to hear some of that music from the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been partnering with a group called the Fabulous Armadillos. They are doing a series of shows in St. Cloud. They're also doing a show up in Brainerd, and they're doing some shows down in the Chanhassen. And you're absolutely right. Music is one way is kind of the universal language, is a way for us to connect, a way for us to communicate. And we're doing this show with them, again, to honor the service of our veterans, Vietnam veterans, and also to promote this conversation around the issues that came out of the Vietnam era.
And that's going to be at the Paramount Theater in St. Cloud. It says October 4th to 6th. Is this a multi-part?
They'll be doing the show actually four times. Three of the shows have sold out, but there are still tickets left for the Saturday matinee, October 6th at 1:30 p.m. show.
And my information here says the Fabulous Armadillos are going to present the contributions of such famous folks as Jimi Hendrix, Creedence Clearwater Revival, Santana, Janis Joplin, all those sounds from the 60s and 70s. And I'm not sure, sir, if I'd want to go back and listen to all of those, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, it's what we call the soundtrack of the Vietnam era.
Sir, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to visit more with retired Major John Donovan, who's the vice chair of the Homefront Resource Center in St. Cloud, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking with retired Major John Donovan, who is now the vice chair of the Homefront Resource Center in St. Cloud and involved in what's called the Central Minnesota Remembers Vietnam Initiative. And Major, I'm sorry, I have to call you Major's habit. Can you tell us the Homefront Resource Center? Now, you are directing veterans and their families to various resources. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And how can they find you, and what type of questions do you field?
Yeah, so the Homefront Resource Center is similar to a family assistance center, which many of your listeners are probably familiar with. They can contact us in central Minnesota in the St. Cloud area through Goodwill Easter Seals in Waite Park. So we have a military services coordinator who works out of Goodwill Easter Seals, and if we have calls that come into that center and they're military related, they'll be referred over to the military services coordinator, who will then again resolve the issue that the person may be dealing with, whether it's housing or financial assistance or education or counseling or whatever the case may be.
So do you work with some of the county veteran service officers as well?
Oh, absolutely. So if a veteran comes up and has an issue relating to CVSO, whether it's filing for benefits, whether it's trying to get the terms of their discharge changed, any of those questions that a CVSO would field, then our guy, our military services coordinator, would coordinate with that CVSO again to get that issue resolved.
Very good, sir. Now, you're also involved in the Central Minnesota Remembers Vietnam Initiative. Can you briefly tell us about that?
So Central Minnesota Remembers Vietnam is this initiative that started with the airing of the Ken Burns documentary on Vietnam on Twin Cities Public Television. And then our group wrote a grant to the Humanities Center, and they graciously funded this project. So the funding for this comes through the St. Paul Humanities Center. And we are doing a series of programs, one program, again, with the Fabulous Armadillos, a series of shows featuring the soundtrack of the Vietnam era. But then we're also doing programs like the art and literature of war. And we happen to have two local artists who are going to be speaking to our audience at the Whitney Center. One is an author by the name of Michael Maurer. The other is an author by the name of Dr. Torillo. They've both written books on Vietnam, and they'll be speaking at the Whitney Senior Center on 1 November. In addition to that, we have a combat artist, and this is a gentleman who did a series of sketches and paintings based on the fire bases in Vietnam, and he'll be showing his works at the Whitney Senior Center on 1 November. So if your listeners are interested in any of this information, they should contact Goodwill Easter Seals and the military service coordinator there, or they can also take a look and find all of this information on our Facebook page, the Homefront Resource Center.
So, sir, are you now full-time doing this and involved at the Homefront Resource Center?
I am. I devote my free time in retirement towards this project, and I will be working on it for the next year and a half. That's the length of this grant. So this will culminate actually in June of 2019.
Good transition from the military to civilian life, sir.
Very much so.
Well, I'm glad that you found something that you feel so passionate about up near home, and that you're still involved with the military and our families and helping take care of our veterans, just like you were when you were in the military, Major.
Well, thank you, Tom, and kudos to you and the great work that you're doing here with the Radio Hour. The listeners, the support that you garner, and the work that you're doing is incredible, and I thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. We're just telling the stories and getting the information out there to our listeners. Thanks for joining us today, sir.
You bet.
That was retired Major John Donovan, Vice Chair of the Homefront Resource Center in St. Cloud. You can find more information at their Facebook page, Homefront Resource Center. Joining me now is Robbie Robinson, who is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Goodhue County Veteran Service Officer. Robbie, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
Robbie, we hear rumors that you extended your term as president for an additional year. Is that true?
Yeah, it's true. I was elected for one more term, and this will be our 75th year. So it's an honor to be the president of the association for the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and serve our veterans.
Well, we'll look forward to talking to you over the course of the next year then. We already had one good year. We'll have a great second year. Today we wanted to talk a little bit about government-issued headstones, and says here that the Department of Veterans Affairs furnishes upon request at no charge to the applicant a government headstone or marker for the unmarked grave of any deceased eligible veteran in any cemetery around the world, regardless of their date of death. So, Robbie, who is eligible for a headstone or marker?
Well, any deceased veteran discharged under conditions other than dishonorable and any member of the armed forces of the United States who dies on active duty may be eligible. For veterans who served after 1980, there is a 24-month service requirement.
So that's all for active duty. How about our Guard and reservists? Are they eligible for these benefits?
Well, you know, reservists and National Guard members who at the time of death were entitled to retired pay or would have been entitled, but for being under the age of 60 are eligible. And reservists called to active duty for other than training and National Guard members who were federalized who served for the period they're called for are eligible.
So,
and then one more thing on that is persons who only have limited active duty service for training while in the National Guard or Reserves, they're not eligible unless there's some kind of special circumstance like death while on active duty.
So they had to be called up for active duty, and I imagine if they check with their local county veteran service officer, they can find out whether or not they're eligible.
Definitely.
So what type of markers are furnished by the VA?
Well, the VA's got four different types of headstones. One of them is the upright granite and marble headstones. These are the ones like you see out at Fort Snelling. These headstones are about 42 inches long, 13 inches wide, 4 inches thick, and they weigh about 230 pounds.
And the second type?
Well, they've got the flat markers. They've got a flat bronze and a flat granite or flat marble. The flat bronze grave markers are about 24 inches long, 12 inches wide, with a 3/4 inch rise in them. The weight's about 18 pounds. The VA does provide the anchor bolts, nuts, and washers for fastening into a base, but they don't furnish the base. And the flat granite and marble are about the same size. They weigh about 130 pounds. There's also a bronze niche, which is about 8.5 inches long, 5.5 inches wide. They weigh about 3 pounds, and the mounting bolts and washers are furnished with the marker. And they've also got what they call a medallion. This is a but the IND that states that the person was a veteran in the United States military, and it says on there whether they were a veteran of the Navy, the Army, the Air Force, the Marine Corps, or Coast Guard, and those are also available. The one thing about these markers, these are the ones that are for veterans who are buried in private cemeteries, and the surviving family members will be responsible for paying to get those set up.
So for those families that might have buried their veteran in a private cemetery and have no marking on there, then they can get a hold of their county veteran service officer and request a medallion.
Yes, they can. So if they need any assistance for this or any other type of veterans benefits, they need to get in contact with their county veteran service officer in their county, and they will be very glad to help them out.
Very good, Robbie. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thanks for having me. Look forward to working with you for another year.
We're looking forward to it as well. That was Robbie Robertson, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Goodhue County Veteran Service Officer. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, the Honorable Robert Wilkie, Secretary of the United States Department of Veterans Affairs, John Donovan, Robbie Robinson, Commissioner Larry Shelleteau of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about the Minneapolis Fisher Houses and get an update on family readiness. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.